This is Sound Effect on KPLU. I'm Gabriel Spitzer, and today we have stories of food and what it tells us about ourselves. So next, we're going to catch up with writer, eater, and food talker Nancy Leeson. She, of course, is half of KPLU's Food for Thought duo, and she's worked around food for a very long time. And I recently learned that some of Nancy's earliest food memories come not from the family dinner table or holiday feasts, but in bars. Growing up around Philadelphia, at a time and place where they would allow a kid to belly up to the bar, she started patronizing the local tavern when she was around 6 years old. And the reason was that's where she'd find her mother.
My mom was a single mom for some time and very young, and raising four very young children, I was the oldest. And my mom would excuse herself and go down to maybe have a little adult companionship down the block. And she'd tell me that if I needed to find her, I knew where to find her.
So otherwise, you were home alone with your siblings.
That's right. So my earliest memories of being in a bar were being in a place called Les Brown's Tap Room. And Les's Tap Room was in a clutch of stores on a commercial strip where we used to live when I was a kid. And Uncle Les Brown, uncle in quotes, was a really friendly fella who ran a place where people could come and drink and grab something to eat. And my mother was often there, and I would find her there and sit right up at the bar with her, as would my siblings. And we'd get to do wonderful things like eat Slim Jims and pickled eggs and hard-boiled eggs. And then, of course, there was a Coca-Cola with as many maraschino cherries as you could fit in there.
And would you look forward to that?
Yeah, I would. I felt very comfortable there. It was a comfortable neighborhood place, a Cheers-like place, of course, as everyone says, and it really was that.
So was that place one of a kind for you, or were there other places that did the same thing for you later?
Well, I mean, that was a one of a kind place for me, but I also have very distinct memories over time of being in bars with my mother and my stepfather, even. So when I was a young teen, we used to stop at a place called the Indian Chief. It was on the way down to the seashore, down the shore in New Jersey. I distinctly recall having my very first clams on the half shell. And, you know, these are raw clams on the half shell. And so I was maybe, I don't know, 10 or something. And the waitress was so very impressed with my prowess of knocking back these raw clams that she bought me another half a dozen clams on the half shell on the house.
Wow. Do your siblings have similar recollections of these places? And do they have the same kind of affection for them that you do?
I don't know if affection would be the right word, in particular for the Indian Chief, because we had an interesting and, for some of it, somewhat traumatizing thing happen at that bar at some point a little later on. We were on our way home from the Jersey Shore, and we stopped there as we had done before. And my mother got into a conversation with some motorcycle guys. And somehow the conversation with these guys who were traveling from I don't know where to I don't know where, it came about that they needed a place to stay. And my mother, over the course of this afternoon or late afternoon in this place, invited them to come back, to follow us back in the car and come to our house and stay in our recreation room, which didn't go over really well with my stepfather and certainly did not go over well with me.
What do you remember thinking about it?
That it was wrong, that it was crazy, that there's only so much friendliness in a bar that you can take so far. That each of the kids got on the back of a motorcycle, as did my mother, for the fun ride home, and that I got into my stepdad's Dodge Dart and was scared and frightened and probably even crying. And we did get home, and I didn't want to stay in the house. I mean, I was youngish, but I was old enough to know that this was frightening, at least to me, and wrong. And I spent the night at my grandmother's. When I asked my stepfather recently if he remembered that story, he remembered it very well. And he said he recalls that it was the beginning of the end.
Of their marriage?
That's right. They were married for 11 years, but that was when he realized that it wasn't going to work.
Was there something about that and the decisions that she made there that give you a handle on what was going on with her at that time and why that relationship and whatever else didn't work out?
She was young and foolish, I think, at that time, and a fun-loving person, I guess, who wasn't thinking beyond that to the health and well-being of her children, which was, I think, true of much of how she was as a parent. You know, she was responsible for four kids for part of that time on her own. She never had a chance to be a kid. From the time I could remember, I was the adult and she was the child. And I realized very early on that I was in charge of my siblings. And I think I did that for a time until I couldn't take it anymore. And I actually left home when I was 15. Yeah, I never lived with my mother again.
Did your mom have a drinking problem?
Yeah, she certainly did. She drank quite a bit. She was, in fact, an alcoholic.
So as you think back on your actual childhood experiences of being in those bars, finding your mother there, you describe those as being very warm memories and you having kind of affection toward it. Are they not tinged with the complicated stuff that would soon develop between you and your mom?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think that for me, those were happy places because she was happy there in those bars. And compared to, I guess, sitting in an apartment with four little kids, maybe that was fun for her. And you know what they say, if mama's happy, everybody's happy.
How do you feel telling these stories now?
Well, I feel okay telling the stories now because my mom died just very recently. She died in April, and it's not as if I haven't told these stories before in a good-hearted, a good-natured way, written about them, shared them with my siblings, with friends, with my husband, whatever. But I feel like I can talk about her now in a way, now that she's gone, in a more honest way. Like any mother, they loom large over who you are and what you become. But I've always felt proud in the knowledge that the things that were wrong with her were wrong with her. They weren't wrong with me. Her story is what made my story, but her story isn't my story.
For all of us, and I'm guessing for you especially, our memories and food are so tied together. Do you ever have transformative moments when you have a piece of beef jerky or you have one of those eggs or you think about that what sounds like one of the last really warm, close, not so complicated points in your life that you had with your mom?
I think about that every time I eat clams on the half shell. I think about it not infrequently when my husband puts a maraschino cherry in his Manhattan. And I certainly think about it when I'm standing in line at a 7-Eleven or at a grocery store somewhere and I see a box of Slim Jims. Regularly now when I'm sitting at a bar enjoying a drink, I wish that my son were sitting next to me. And soon enough, he'll be 21 and old enough to have that seat next to me. And I hope that when he does, we have a kick-ass great time.
Well, Nancy Leeson, a KPLU food commentator, half of Food for Thought and friend of the show. Thank you so much.
It's my pleasure.